And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. And as odd as it may seem to say this, that's actually the Christmassy part of this episode from Jesus' childhood. That he who is wisdom itself, nevertheless submitted to having to grow in wisdom like the rest of us, according to his human nature. That he who is infinite and almighty, who fills all things and contains all things, nevertheless submitted to growing in stature and maturing in his flesh like any other person. That he who is the same yesterday, today, and always, who is changeless, nevertheless grew. Now, I say that all of that is Christmassy here on this 10th day of the season because the focus of Christmas is the wonder of the incarnation, that God took our flesh and nature to himself in Jesus born at Bethlehem in order to redeem us fallen children of Adam. But some of you may recognize that Jesus' trip to the temple here when he was 12 does a kind of double duty at this time of year, that it appears as a Christmas reading, yes, but it's also going to get used in the Epiphany season when our focus shifts from the wonder of God made man to how God revealed the man Jesus to be the promised Messiah. And certainly the amazement that Jesus brought to those teachers in the temple was revelatory to them that they were not in the presence of any ordinary 12-year-old. But as it is still Christmas, let us focus on what Jesus does for us here as the incarnate one. And I think there are four things to take note of. First, that he was 12. That is, it's now been 12 years since Gabriel visited Mary, better than 12 years, and told her that the power of the Most High would overshadow her. 12 years since he'd taken humanity to himself in Mary's womb, and yet still, well, he was only 12. It's unlikely that his voice had changed. He's still regarded by all as a child. He was bound to his parents by both human law and necessity. He didn't speed up the aging process for himself at all. He simply let it take its time. Then secondly, he was submissive, or he subordinated himself to Joseph and Mary. And while I always get questions about whether Jesus wasn't being a little bit cheeky when he responded to his parents, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know where I was going to be?" What you need to remember is that he is God. And yet he takes commands from Joseph and Mary. He did his chores, took out the garbage, helped pick up around the house. All that they required of him, he did gladly, even though he was their God. Knowing that order is good and necessary, that the law needed to be fulfilled, Jesus happily submitted to Joseph and Mary. And then third, as I noted at the outset, he let himself, according to his human nature, grow in wisdom and maturity like any other person. And I want you to let that one sink in for just a moment. Jesus had to study. He had to learn like a person the rest of us do. He refused to draw on his divine nature in order to take shortcuts in his development. And finally, right, he told Joseph and Mary that literally he had to be about the things of his father. That is, even as a child, he was still set apart to do the work of God, to be in the midst of God's things, to be fully occupied with the work of his divine nature. And Jesus' assumption of our flesh and nature then opens a way for us to come to him and get caught up, taken up into his life, even as he came down and took on our life. For instance, you might ask, why does it matter to us that he was 12 years old? Well, I want you to think just for a moment of how impatient we often are, not wanting to wait, not wanting to take time, not wanting to delay reward or gratification. In Christ, who took the time to be 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 and 25 before he was revealed to Israel, in him we can learn patience and learn to trust in God's will and time. In Christ, we can learn that God will bring us to the right time, the right place, and that there's nothing to fear in delay and waiting. And in Jesus' subordination to Mary and Joseph, we too can learn to be submissive. But I don't think we much care for that, right? We are in a culture that prides itself in assertion, in freedom, in exercise of the ego. But we have to abandon ego and recognize that God has given us order for the good of our neighbor. So let us learn in Christ to submit when it is our calling to do so. And in Jesus' learning wisdom, you and I can be content to learn as we are able, not needing to take shortcuts, not needing to get instant knowledge. Some things, after all, are only learned with time, experience, and maturity. And in Christ, we can accept that. And finally, you and I, we are also called to be about the things of our Heavenly Father, and yet too often we are only concerned for our own things. But in Christ, we are called to be immersed in the Word, to learn and know it because it is God's Word. We are called to be occupied with mercy and grace, for we are set apart for forgiveness. These are the things of the Father. These are the things of our Father that we must be given to. So, as Christ once grew up in our flesh, let us grow up into Him as the Lord grants it, content that even now we are being shaped to be like Him who made Himself to be like us. Even so, amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of His appearing. Amen.